through the financial fallout shelter with the national debt now more than $10 trillion. The White House today enacted an emergency plan to eliminate all of the United States' financial obligations to foreign nations by faking a violent coup of the American government. The coup is expected to take much of the strain off of America's real economy, providing the global community does not discover the ruse. The fake coup began at 10 a.m. today when fake rebel leader Octavius Del Monte stormed Congress and pretended to kill several congressmen.
Hear my words, China, Japan, and the United Arab Emirates. The United States of America and all its vast debt no longer exists. Henceforth, this land will be called Octavia. Do not even try to collect funds owed.
The militants brandished plastic guns and wore costumes. Lawmakers stayed up late last night making themselves.
I believe we have the wrong room, sir.
Oh! Oh!
Now, what is the meaning of this?
Be quiet, woman!
After a five-minute mock battle, Congress and the president ceded control of the nation to Octavius, who is believed to be played by Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Charles Conner.
You know how when someone dies and all their debts go away and no one has to pay them? Well, this is like that, except with countries.
The country's creditors will be told the paper containing the country's debts was destroyed in the scuffle.
Someone save the record of our debts!
Congress will also use computer graphics to simulate some of the fake coup's more complicated details, such as the explosion that blows up the Treasury building. Representatives on both sides of the aisle said the plan was the best option left for lowering our debt after ideas like burning down the country for the insurance money and disguising the nation as Canada were deemed infeasible. The White House is also asking all American citizens to call their friends in other countries to complain about the new dictatorship. And in accordance with pretending to comply with Octavius's media control policy, this network will now be broadcasting Octavia's national anthem for 3 hours every day. Thank you for watching, and God bless Octavia.
Operation.
All right there. All right then. Look, listen, Neil, pray.
Music and audio subversions with Skidmark Bob.
He's the only asshole we've got.
Every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
101 FM or freakradio.org.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what Jason wants!
And you are tuned to Operation Ear Infection Show. My name is Skidmark Bob. Spending the next 2 hours with you. Got a bunch of new music here. Gonna be sharing with you brand new 3 inches of Blood, Bullets and Octane, Haymarket Riot. What else we got in here? Some new Iron Maiden, some live stuff, maybe some Kronos Quartet. Right now we're enjoying Murray Gold with the Doctor Who theme song. Stay tuned, stand by. We got a lot more coming up for you. Free Radio. Operation Ear Infection Show. Keep it locked. Yes, the world might end tonight, folks. Tune to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. 15 years of unlicensed broadcast here. And that was Bad Religion, New Dark Ages, off of their New Maps of Hell, their recent release. I think it was 2007. Here's another one. I Want to Conquer the World.
With your high and mighty Aaron, your action speaks so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. Hey sister, bleeding heart, with all of your compassion, your labors do the hurt but can't assuage temptation. Hey man of science, with your perfect rules of measure, can you improve this place with the data that you gather? Hey mother mercy, can your life bear fruit forever? Is your fecundity a trammel or a treasure? Your children cry when you left them at the station. Hey, moral soldier, you've got righteous proclamations and precious stones to fuel your pulpy conflagrations. And I wanna conquer the world, give all the idiots a brand new religion, put an end to poverty and cleanliness and toil. Children, do away with their pollution and then I'll save the whales. We'll have peace on earth and global communion. I want to conquer the world. 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 Did you ever see the concrete stairs of every day? The lunatic, the hypocrite are all lost in the fray. Can't you see their lives are just like yours? And understood and undiscovered, you're leading to the gift of hope renewed, eternity for you. The masses of humanity have always had to suffer. The businessman whose master plan controls the world each day, in blind to indications of his species for decay. Can't you see his life is just like yours? And undiscovered and undiscovered, you're leading to the gift of hope renewed, eternity for you. The masses of humanity have always had to suffer. People blow their minds, they choose to resign. This deep one society is part of that design. They'll never go away, it's in the cards that way. The masses of humanity have always, always had to suffer. A door leading to the gift of hope renewed, eternity for you. The masses of humanity still cling to their dignity. The masses of humanity will always, always have to suffer. Always have to suffer.
Neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. No one cares like he cares. Neighbors, let us join today in the holy love of God and money. Because neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. And what better way to show your love than to dig deep into your pockets? Dig real deep and give until it hurts. Alleviate your guilt. Free yourself once again because he gave to you, brothers and sisters. Please give a $10, $25, or $50 tax-deductible donation, and I assure you your modest tribute to many other godly services. No longer will young Christian Americans hedonistically indulge in masochistic submission to rhythmic music. Or with no monetary support, there is no end to what we can achieve in this country. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. Thank God, please, God. Can't you see what we believe in? All our thoughts and all our reasons, pursuit of life and liberty. Happy as we can taste, we just trip with a mighty voice of our desire, real choice. I am in the chase of our objectives, serve with one small flaw. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. If we show God and Jesus Christ, religious love is sacrificed. Stuff for God is shown to cash. Nothing sent, fill our trash. And repent that we receive our money. That's what God needs. Build a $1 million church. The money spent on God's search. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. On late night TV, God can heal a certain voice he cannot feel. Love for money and God's name, but it's just not what TV gave. The money spent on God's church. The return of knowledge earned, the money spent on God's return. Voice of God is government. 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 Government does government.
Long ago in a dusty village full of hunger, pain, and strife, a man came forth with a vision of truth and the way to a better life. Was convinced he had the answer, and he compelled people to follow along. But the hunger never vanished, and the man was banished, and the village dried up and died. At a time when wise men peered through glass tubes towards the sky, the heavens changed in predictable ways, and one man was able to find that he had thought he found the answer, and he was quick to write his revelation. But as they were scrutinized in his colleagues' eyes, he soon became a mockery. Don't tell me about the answer, 'cause then another one will come along soon. I don't believe you have the answer. I've got ideas too. But if you got enough naivety and you got conviction, then the answer is perfect for you. Choking on his discharge, overwhelmed by industry, searching for a modern day savior from another place, inclined for charity. Everyone begging for an answer without regard to validity. The searching never ends, it goes on and on and on for eternity. Come along soon.
the first day back at school for the children of Gaza, but many are returning to classrooms short on paper, books, and just about everything else. Some schools are even missing walls and windows destroyed during Israel's war in Gaza and unable to be rebuilt due to the siege. From Gaza, Ayman Mohyeddin reports.
A new dawn and a new academic year for students across Gaza schools. For the third year, 500,000 students here are returning to classes under an Israeli-imposed siege. But unlike previous years, Gaza's educational system is reeling from Israel's devastating war that killed more than 180 students and teachers while destroying or damaging nearly 300 schools. That damage has led to a crisis for school administrators like Sami Toman.
The biggest crisis we face is a shortage of classrooms. Because so many of the schools were destroyed, we have lost classrooms. We have been able to get these trailers that can take 25 students, but that won't be nearly enough.
On the first day of school, he is struggling to accommodate the newly enrolled students, whose schools have been destroyed. Newly donated trailers will make little impact on these overcrowded schools across the territory. More than 80% of government-run and UN-operated schools are already running on a shift system. And schools in Gaza, like this one, lack clean water, electricity, or telephone lines. It all impacts the academic performance. Education officials warn that attendance is declining because of regular disruptions to the school year caused by war and military incursions. 80% of Gaza's sixth graders failed standardized tests. Nearly 20% of students suffer from nutritional deficiencies. The devastation has also psychologically scarred many students here.
It's depressing to come to a school like this. It's unstable. I've known the school my whole life, and last year I failed for the first time. I've had many friends die during the war.
Gaza's educational system needs a major overhaul, or it runs the risk of collapse, warn officials. 105 new schools are needed to meet the growing demands for classrooms. Tens of thousands of tons of steel, glass, and cement are needed to repair damaged schools, none of which have been allowed to enter Gaza because of Israel's blockade on the territory, which has also led to a chronic shortage of clothes, school supplies, and educational material, including textbooks.
We have no products. Everything we have bought is in Israel, and they won't let us bring it in. Parents want to come and buy goods for their children, and we have to tell them we have nothing.
While officials are concerned about the immediate impact on this upcoming school year, there's undoubtedly great concern on what all of this means for future generations of Palestinians and their ability to fully realize their potential, and by extension that of their communities, the future Palestinian state. Ayman Mohyeddin, Al Jazeera, Gaza.
For the last 60 years, Jordan has been hosting 40% of all Palestinian refugees. Abu Mujahid is one of them. Born and raised in al-Nasr camp, his family, like all other Palestinian refugees in Jordan, was offered asylum and granted citizenship. But that doesn't make it home. He says any peace proposal suggesting an alternative homeland is a non-starter.
The alternative homeland is a very dangerous idea. It means the loss of Palestinian rights and loss of Jordanian rights. Property, sovereignty, because it implies that Palestinians will be settled in areas that are meant to be for Jordanians.
Officials in Jordan agree and say the alternative homeland concept is simply a diversion, basing their position on UN Resolution 194, which guarantees the right of return of all Palestinian refugees.
The question is not how to find a home for the Palestinians. The question is, the Palestinians have a home. They have been evicted from their home and they want to go back to it.
The Israeli proposal to make Jordan the alternative homeland for Palestinians effectively implies the expulsion of Palestinians from the occupied West Bank, driving them to the east of the river, and suggesting that Jordan take control of the West Bank administration as an alternative to an independent Palestinian state. There is no way Jordan would accept such a notion, say officials, who also order that it shouldn't be a fear or a topic of discussion among Jordanians themselves.
There's no power capable of obliging us to do anything that is against Jordan and against Jordan's interests. In the last 10 years, Clinton, Bush and Obama never said anything about possible pressure on Jordan when it comes to refugees.
Both Jordanians and Palestinians have continued to protest against Israel for what they consider as taking the right of return off of the table at Jordan's expense. Meanwhile, as always, it's the Palestinian refugees who are left in limbo.
After 61 years of exile, they want us to accept an alternative to our homeland. But Palestine will never leave our thoughts. It's impossible for us to accept anything less than our right of return.
A right guaranteed by international law. A right still denied to Palestinian refugees. Nasreen Al-Shamayli, Al Jazeera, Al-Nasr Refugee Camp, Amman.
Years of accords, summits and roadmaps, there are some hopes now that Barack Obama can bring a new kind of momentum to all of this. The US president due to present his plan for peace next month, and among the contentious issues is the continued building of Jewish settlements on occupied land. These settlements have been highly contentious since the 1967 occupation of Palestinian territories. Hundreds of thousands have been built over the years to international condemnation, little else. And although construction was halted in 2005, the number of settlers is still rising. Since the high-profile Annapolis conference in 2007, the number's gone up to around about 500,000 now in total in the occupied territories. And roughly half of that number is in East Jerusalem alone. More now on the thorny issue of Jewish settlements from Jackie Rowland in the West Bank.
No sign of a settlement freeze on the hills of the West Bank. In fact, quite the opposite. The settlers are aware that time may be running out, and they're building like it's going out of fashion. A new report by the Peace Now movement says Israel has built 600 homes on occupied Palestinian land since the beginning of the year, and the bricks are still being laid. In many cases, the settlers are using old building plans from 20 years ago. It's their way of dodging the need to apply for new permits.
We feel that there's nothing that should stop or freeze, halt or interfere with the right of Jews to live anywhere in the land of Israel. The political outcome, the future borders, who will be sovereign, is something which we have an opinion on, but that has nothing to do with the fact that Jews and Arabs should live everywhere and anywhere on both sides of the Green Line.
The question of settlements doesn't only divide Israeli public opinion. It even divides the government itself. When reports circulated last week that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had agreed to a temporary halt in construction, there was uproar inside the cabinet, with right-wingers denouncing any freeze as unacceptable. So Netanyahu is under pressure from his right-wing coalition partners to keep building in the West Bank. But at the same time, he's under pressure from the United States to stop. Two conflicting demands that the Prime Minister can't keep juggling forever.
The goal of the settlers is to prevent, trying to prevent any kind of peace agreement in the future. They will do that in one way, if they will build enough housing units in the West Bank that will prevent us and Israel and the Palestinians to make an agreement that will separate two nations.
The United States has identified the settlements as a major obstacle to peace. The question now is whether the Obama administration can turn its request for a settlement freeze into a reality. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, in the occupied West Bank.
Let's talk to Jackie now, live for us in the West Bank settlement of Ma'ale Adumim. Take us on a visual tour of what's behind you, Jackie, and at the same time reflect on whether it really is the case that these settlers want to put political obstacles in the way of any kind of peace settlement, or whether they simply want somewhere to live.
Well, this particular settlement, David, is the largest official settlement in the West Bank, Ma'ale Adumim, home to 33,000 Jewish settlers and very close to Jerusalem. It's a kind of dormitory town for people working in Jerusalem. And so to answer your question about the kind of people living here, they're largely people who just need affordable housing. And as you can probably see in our shot now, more of that affordable housing is in fact being constructed as we speak. A number of apartment blocks in various stages of construction up there on the hilltop. Now, the important thing to remember about Ma'ale Adumim is while there are some people here who share the views of some of those right-wingers within the coalition government, I would say that the large majority of people here are often young couples, maybe with young children, who need an affordable place to live, and they need space for their kids to grow up. And the problem with trying to buy an apartment or a house in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv now is that the prices are very high. There have been quite a lot of immigration into Israel by Jews from the United States, from France, from Europe. People have got quite a lot of money to spend on houses, and that's driven up the price in cities like Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And so young Israelis often find themselves priced out of the market. So many of the people who are living here for economic reasons, not because they're trying to make some kind of political or ideological statement.
But the way I read it, Jackie, I'm sure you've told me this, is that these settlements are often built in such a way that they encircle any of the Palestinians living in the area, that they're sort of throttling the Palestinians who have homes there, that it's not simply a matter of I need a house to live in, but somebody's designed it in a specific way.
The infrastructure of settlement building does create a stranglehold around local Palestinian villages. It's particularly noticeable, this whole stranglehold around the city of Jerusalem, because where we are now, little by little, the various illegal Jewish settlements around Jerusalem are being joined together, closing off any remaining links for Palestinians in East Jerusalem to their fellow Palestinians in the West Bank, which is really creating a political reality which does physically separate East Jerusalem from the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory. And as you're saying, David, it is the whole infrastructure of settlement. It's not just the housing, it's everything else that is built to sustain and support the settlement and to connect it to Israel proper. So we're talking about various defences, we're talking about military bases here in the West Bank, obviously the separation wall, all that stretches of concrete and razor wire and electric fence that zigzags throughout the West Bank. And as well, the various infrastructure in terms of sewage systems and particularly highways. The Israelis have built a lot of really large highways that really cut through the West Bank, roads which the Palestinians aren't allowed to use. So you can see the way that the settling of the West Bank has really broken the territory up into fragments. And it is very difficult to see, even if there is some kind of a political agreement, a political or economic plan of the kind that Salam Fayyad has been speaking, it's hard to see how that will be put into practice as long as the settlements and the infrastructure of settlements remain on the ground.
Jackie Rowland, thank you very much.
Tune to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Operation Ear Infection Show. Just heard some stuff from Al Jazeera English News. You can go to aljazeera.net/English or look them up on the YouTube page they have there. You can watch some of these video of the audio I'm playing here. Bunch of news about Israel and Palestine. And I just found that the latest Palestine Today is up. So we're going to go with that. After the rest of the song from Kronos Quartet, we'll hear another one from their latest release, Floodplain, Kronos Quartet, right after Palestine Today for August 25th, 2009. Stay tuned. Free Radio. We got a bunch of more new music coming up and information. Stand by.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, August 25th, 2009. The Israeli military kills three civilians in Gaza and kidnaps others from the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinian medical sources reported that three brothers were killed and 10 residents were injured in an Israeli shelling that targeted the tunnels area in Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Dr. Muawiyah Abu Hassanin, head of the emergency unit at the Palestinian Ministry of Health, reported that Mansour al-Batrawi, 30, and his brothers Wael, 26, and Ibrahim, 34, were killed when the army shelled a tunnel. Majdi al-Baba, the administrative director of Abu Yusuf al-Najjar, stated that the bodies of the three brothers, along with 8 wounded residents, were moved to the hospital. He added that rescue teams are still trying to locate residents believed to be trapped under the rubble. 116 Palestinians have been killed in tunnel accidents and more than 510 injured since Israel imposed a siege on Gaza 3 years ago. This doesn't include residents killed in Israeli shellings targeting the tunnels. In other news, the Israeli military kidnapped on Tuesday 5 Palestinian civilians during morning invasions targeting a number of West Bank communities. Palestinian sources said that troops kidnapped 3 men from Kabalan village in northern West Bank, 1 from Jenin city, also northern West Bank, in addition to 1 man from Ramallah city, central West Bank. The Israeli army radio announced that the 5 men were taken to military detention camps for questioning and that they are on what the army calls its wanted list. Thank you for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. You have been listening to Palestine Today from the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org. This report has been brought to you by Ghassan Bannoura.
You can hear that right before 5 o'clock every weekday here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, IMEMC News. Here's some brand new Kronos Quartet.
joining us. We are continuing our coverage of the ominous music that is sending panic across the nation. The suspenseful music was first heard throughout the country at 3:10 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon, setting citizens and government officials on high alert.
Something really bad is going to happen. I can just feel it.
We go now live to Washington correspondent Jane Carmichael with an update.
Hi, Andrea.
Jane, do we have any more information on the source of this music?
Well, Andrea, the AP is reporting the ominous music is being caused by an intrepid young journalist who is currently rifling through a classified government dossier.
Okay, I see.
But moments ago, the New York Times website posted a story claiming that the music may be linked to a group of wealthy recent high school graduates speeding along a winding road in a red convertible, screaming and laughing with the hubris of youth.
Okay.
At this point, we just don't know.
Okay, now we've been informed that police nationwide are on the lookout for attractive teen girls wandering by themselves.
Yes, they are. And experts say their chances of being hacked to pieces by a knife-wielding maniac have increased over 600% since the music began.
I'm sorry, Jane, I'm just getting word that we've got some footage of that now.
I think it's just Joey doing this. He must be playing a prank.
Come on, Joey. Knock it off. Honey, Joey, come on, stop!
Interesting lead there, but Jane, is the telephone watch still in effect?
Yes, absolutely. Officials are saying not to let your phone ring suspensefully two or three times, because the call will likely be completely harmless, a neighbor or a friend. But be very careful after you hang up. When you're standing there relieved, that is when the horrible event is most likely to occur.
Okay, FEMA is attempting to bring an end to the music using a variety of strategic phrases, but so far it's been unsuccessful. Let's go now live to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Come on, it'll be fun. Wait for me, guys. What's that shadow in the water? If that wasn't you, and that wasn't me, then what was it? Watch how a real man does it.
No developments there as of yet. Now, Jane, I understand President Obama has been taken to an undisclosed location. Can you confirm that, Jane?
Well, you know, Andrea, there is no authoritative word, but apparently the White House will issue... Oh, my God!
Jane!
Oh, my God!
Jane? Okay, we seem to have lost that signal, but we'll bring you more information as soon as possible. Moving on, a new erectile dysfunction drug that works by chemically lowering a woman's expectations.
Oh,
Yes, yes. Brand new. Brand from Japan. O-O-I-O-O. So that's how there's O-O-I-O-O-I-O-O with U-U-I-A. I think. And this one's like U-da-a-ach-ha-ha. This is off of their album Armonico Hiwa. That's how it's spelled anyway in English. I don't know what it is in Japanese. But I love their music and been a big fan of O-O-I-O-O. Here's another one called Uda Haha. We'll be right back.
Operation Ear Infection.
Ow! Fucking fascist!
Music and audio subversions with Skidmark Bob.
He's psychotic. Get him out of the house!
Maybe Bob's not a sadomasochistic thrill killer.
Freak! Freak!
Maybe he's just an asshole.
Robin, this is the only asshole we've got.
Every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 12
the whole family's gone deaf.
101 FM or freeradio.org.
I want freedom! That's what I want! That's what you should want! The whole family's gone deaf.